You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
So, folks, Senate Bill 154 was enacted on June 4th, 2025, and it made kratom a Schedule I controlled dangerous substance. And this law prohibits possessing, selling, and distributing kratom throughout Louisiana. So what is kratom? Dr. Mordecai Potash joins us, pain specialist, Tulane, and program director, lead psychiatrist for substance use treatment services, and also with the Southeast Louisiana Veterans Healthcare Services. Dr. Potash, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Newell. It's wonderful to be back with you.
Yes, sir. You have provided for me some information that goes back to 1836 relative to kratom. It wasn't called that back then, but it was kratom. And I read through all of the documents that you provided me, the case reports and everything else. And, you know, what was really interesting to me, we've known about this plant-based drug for a long, long time. And here we are in 2025, and we're doing something about it for the first time. It's kind of strange, huh?
Yeah. And, you know, I think it all has to do with the opiate epidemic, which is, you know, why we're dealing with it now. And the opiate epidemic, although it involves a lot of illicit narcotics, illicitly produced opiates, it certainly was definitely generated by the medical industry. And so actually, kratom was introduced into the United States in 1977 as well. But you know, at that time, there was no opiate epidemic. I mean, there was opiate use problems, but not the epidemic that we have now. There was another epidemic that was coming up, the cocaine and crack cocaine epidemic. But kratom didn't take hold at that time. I mean, the consumers were not interested in it, and so it evaporated from the American scene. And then we fast forward decades and decades later, and now we have the opiate epidemic, and people are looking for something to use in lieu of the opiates that they're either prescribed or abusing. And then kratom has a lot of interest when they're faced with that sort of situation. So kratom takes hold like gangbusters then. Even though kratom's been around for centuries, maybe even millennia, in Southeast Asia, you know, like the time of its original introduction in the United States wasn't right for it to take hold. And then in the last 15 years, you better believe the time has been right, and it's really exploded into use. And Newell, as you mentioned, those documents, even those documents dating back to 1836, and then there's another 1907 document and a 1935 document, all talk about how that there were, even back then, well-known problems with the use of kratom, that it was well-known back then that kratom users would often hop off of smoking opium to using kratom when opium wasn't available, but also health officials in Southeast Asia would comment at times that the kratom use that was happening then was creating bigger problems than the opium smoking that was going on then. So even at that time, it was well known that the use of kratom was far from benign.
Yeah, you know, I've always had this thought process, and you correct me if I'm wrong, that in this country, when we are dealing with plant-based substances, we seem to be slow to figure out what that's about. I mean, we've seen the same thing with marijuana, right?
Yeah,
and all of the ingredients of marijuana, that there's never been any a lot of clinical studies or studies as to what happens with those ingredients within that. It seems as though it repeats itself with kratom because it's a leaf, a tree that they grind up and they used to smoke it, or they'd make a paste or a gel out of it. And as to all of these documents that you provided for me, that as I was reading through it last night, they used it very much, as you said, a substitute for opium, and then they were addicted to kratom.
Right.
You know, and so my question is, why is that? Why are we so slow to come to grips with a lot of these plant-based drugs and hallucinogenics?
Well, I think. One of the things is like that the health community, you know, like the health organizations, whether it's the governmental health organizations or health organizations at universities or institutes, they are always like so far behind what is happening as far as the development and refinement of these plant-based products. And you mentioned marijuana. I think part of the problem with marijuana is that that the marijuana products that are out now have an extraordinarily higher concentration of THC in them than products did 40 or 50 years ago, like exponentially higher. And so those sort of marijuana products with such a higher concentration going to have much stronger effects and much stronger negative effects, you know? And so the entrepreneurs investing in these products, that they're coming out with much, much stronger products, but our understanding of it in medicine and health lags by years and even decades, you know, so that the researchers and the regulators are always playing catch up. You know, I think it's the developers of some of these new marijuana products and kratom products as well. You know, they're driving a Corvette and the universities and governmental health regulators, they're following behind in their tricycles, you know? And so I see that as a huge part of the problem. And in regards to Kratom specifically, one of the big problems that we're having is particularly with these liquid extracts, which extract the active ingredients, which are mitragynine and then a metabolite of mitragynine, that they extract those active ingredients. They concentrate it into these tonics. People take the tonics. They get a highly concentrated dose of those products, and for some people it brings instantaneous relief. For other people it brings instantaneous side effects, and even for a lot of people that get relief, the relief is short-lived, you know, for just a couple of hours, and then it's out of their system and they start to feel terrible from that, and they need to take it again and again. And then something that they thought would be a $40 to $80 per week expense starts becoming like a $600+ week expense.
So right now Kratom is legal in the United States. It's going to be illegal August 1st in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Interestingly, in one of the case reports that you provided, they make the observation that, you know, where a lot of this stuff is from in Southeast Asia, those countries have made it illegal already.
Yeah. Yeah. burnt down again. The forests when they find them, and, you know, really, you know, made that decision like, where this is causing too many societal problems. It's causing us too high of an expenditure in the health sector. We're going to end it.
So what are some of the side effects for the you know, abuse of this substance?
You know, like, there's a lot of potential different side effects, and it comes from the fact that Kratom, yes, it reason why a lot of people who take opiates switch to Kratom is because it acts on the same receptor that the opiates do. So kind of an opiate, what we call opiate agonist is the term, but it's also a stimulant. So it has a lot of these stimulant-like effects too, like profuse sweating, intense racing of the heart, sometimes intense dizziness, lightheadedness, room spinning, legs buckling. Also, it can have intense gastrointestinal side effects, like very intense nausea and vomiting. And in more advanced cases, just clear and total confusion, clear and total hallucinations. And in the worst cases, just total collapse to either unconsciousness or total collapse from some degree of cardiac arrest.
So I guess, you know, for parents that are out there, I guess their kids could have gone to the discount zone or some stores around here and just bought this stuff off the shelf?
Or gas stations is the, you know, most popular. Convenience stores, discount stores, right. Gas stations.
I mean, it makes you wonder about what we're actually doing here. If the place of origin has made it illegal, and I don't know how many years ago they did that, they didn't say in the case study, and here we are in 2025, and we still haven't as a country dealt with it, but as a state, thankfully, we have. Something's fundamentally wrong. I keep scratching my head on this.
Yeah. I think what Kratom advocates point to is that some places where it grows wildly, some of those countries have made it illegal. That's true. There are other countries where they have not made it illegal. So it's not like that there's some sort of universal ban where the tree that grows the kratom leaves, where that tree wildly grows, it's not like it's universally banned. They point to that. But yeah, there's a number of countries where they have banned it, you know, and you would think that would give people pause, you know, and using it. Now, I also want to point out that, like, a couple, I think it's really important to point out that of course, you know, with proportionality, when we're talking about kratom, we're not talking about fentanyl. You know, we're not talking about anything like that level of destructiveness, you know. But kratom advocates say, like, hey, you know, even if we acknowledge that this could cause harm, is definitely the lesser of two evils, you know. And so that is an argument as well. I think that there are safer medications that people can get on as alternatives to abusing opiates. But I think a big part of the problem is, like, for a person to get on one of those safer medications means that they have to meet with a prescriber, and they either have to have the insurance to meet with the prescriber and pay for the prescription or pay out of pocket. And up until August 1st in Louisiana for kratom, you don't need to see a prescriber, just go to the convenience store, you know. And so that is extremely attractive for a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm glad that Louisiana has stepped up. I don't know how many other states have made this substance illegal, but I hope others follow suit, you know, mm-hmm. to what Louisiana is doing, because when you read these case studies, they're compelling.
Yeah.
You know, it's And it's not like it's new. You know, I was really, when I got your email about these documents going back to 1836, I was kind of chuckling, looking at, you know, the citations in here, you know, on this particular journal from the Federated Malay States, you know, 1906 to 1909. And, you know, and what was really interesting, too, a lot of them were, like, looking at it from an economic perspective, you know, of the sale of this stuff. And you know, obviously there was some concern, and maybe that's why there's some areas of the Malay Peninsula that haven't outlawed it, because there's an economic impact to it as well. So it was really interesting.
Yeah. That if they're importing it, you're exporting that product to the United States and to Europe, I mean, that's export money in their pocket, you know, and I'm sure that's quite consequential to them.
Well, Dr. Potash, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time, your insight. Dr. Mordecai Potash, pain specialist, Tulane, and program director, lead psychiatrist for substance use treatment services, Southeast Louisiana Veterans Health Care Services. Thank you, sir, and have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me, Newell. Bye-bye.
All righty. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line. When we return, we'll visit with Cynthia Lee Shang, the president of Jefferson Parish.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
It's that time of year again, back to school season. And Instacart knows that the only thing harder than getting back into the swing of things is getting all the back to school supplies, snacks, and essentials you need. So here's your reminder to make your life a little easier this season. Shop favorites from Staples, Best Buy, and Costco, all delivered through Instacart, so that you can get some time back and do whatever it is that you need to get your life back on track. Instacart, we're here.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Cynthia Lee Shang, president of Jefferson Parish. Cynthia, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Noel. Thank you for having me.
Well, you can breathe a sigh of relief. The sun's out. There's no rain.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. This is kind of what I wish for this. I said, I hope we can kind of activate for a non-event kind of thing. It would be good for us. So.
Yeah, last night was a little interesting, though.
Back.
It was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say last night was a little interesting. They had some loud booms, a lot of lightning. Not as much rain as I think we expected, though, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. No, last night I was getting concerned. I said, if it's like this, but it dissipated and we didn't have any flooding. So, yeah, no, last night I thought, uh-oh, here we go, you know. But luckily it stopped and it didn't continue through today, so. But it's good in terms of preparedness and in terms of the emergency management side and activating our teams. I think it's good for us to kind of go through this. We are in the midst of hurricane season too. So, and we always want to be over prepared, and it doesn't mean that you have to match the threat that you have with, engage at that level. And that's what we do. And if it ends up not being as bad as it could be, then we're fortunate.
What are the projections for the rest of the weekend? Have that changed? I went on air at 10 o'clock, and these things changed so quick.
Yeah, so I think, you know, possible rain through the weekend, but then I think if the rain stops, it's going to get high heat next week. So we'll be dealing with some high-temperature weather next week, Monday, Tuesday time frame is what I'm hearing.
So this actually is almost like a tabletop exercise, which is good. Anything revealed itself that caused you any concern?
You know, our team has had to respond to so many emergencies in our term of office that we have really gotten into really discussing, like, what worked well, what didn't work well. And this, I will tell you, This was a strange one for us. It felt strange, not because normally if there's a storm coming, a hurricane coming, we're all familiar with what we do. You know, we send our employees home to kind of prep their houses, get their family out of town. We're all kind of set to it. And this was a strange one because we went to work today. You know, we didn't cancel anything. We had summer camps going on. Everybody kept with the meetings. But we also partially activated our emergency operations center. So it felt weird for that reason. And it was kind of a little confusing for that reason because it wasn't our normal battle rhythm. As Joe Valiente would say, it's like we have a battle rhythm. And this was different. And then when you really thought about it, it's like, well, yeah, because some half of us or more than half of us are just engaging in regular services in government, which we wouldn't be doing if we were in the cone of a hurricane. And then another portion of us were essential duty or are prepared if we have flooded roads. We wouldn't have been like that if it was a high wind event. I think we would have been much more, you know, trying to get people out of shelters and, you know, but it being a rain event and a flood event, it presented differently to us. So I think we learned that, you know, if you go to these conferences and you're in the emergency management world, what they'll tell you is the weather events coming are going to produce a lot more rain. And so this was a time where we kind of activated without a hurricane. We didn't think this was going to be a hurricane. This was didn't even make it tropical storm status. And I told our team, I think you're going to see this more and more now, and a partial activation for perhaps a non-hurricane event. And we need to learn how to dial it to different degrees of you know, engagement and activation. And I think we've certainly learned that. And we'd rather always over-prepare, and then we can dial back when the threat kind of subsides a little bit.
You guys have obviously been tried and tested. I noticed here over the past year or so, you've been an invited speaker to a number of emergency management conventions and otherwise. Something you enjoy?
I really do enjoy it because I think as an elected official, just, you know, unfortunately in my term of office, I've had to respond to so many different kind of events, right? So, of course, we have the hurricanes and the storms, but then, you know, we started my term of office with COVID, so that was a medical event. Then we've had, you know, tornadoes that were kind of unprecedented for us. Then we've had drought that we, you know, like in 2023, we had 41 days of record-breaking heat. Then we had the broken water line that came from drought. We had to shut off water to over 100,000 people. And then we've had, you know, the snow event, which is an emergency for us, and saltwater intrusion, which is a different kind of emergency. So I think, you know, in terms of other elected officials around the country, unfortunately for us in this area, we have had to respond to a lot of different kind of emergencies. And I think that's how I've become very passionate about it and enjoy speaking about it. And then I'm glad that I am able to be a local voice for the FEMA Review Council. Or I'm really fortunate. I was talking to Tommy earlier today. I'm fortunate to still be in office when I've been able to respond to the events with our team, but I'm also able to give input as to how we can make it better. And for a short term of office, you know, I've only been in office, 5-6 years in this role. What an incredible opportunity in that short period of time to experience it, go through a disaster, but also it become a national conversation on how we can do it better and be able to have a voice on that in that kind of forum. That's been very enjoyable for me.
There's been some conversation at the national level to try, I guess the fairest way to describe it may be to re-engineer FEMA. Your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm part of the National Association of Counties, and we assembled a task force of emergency and elected officials throughout the country, and we were trying to get this on people's radar last fall. And we're on the team. I'm a co-chair of this committee. And we said, well, whether if Biden wins or if President Trump or, you know, then President Biden wins, we need to get in front of some people. We need to get in front of certain congressional members and try to get this to be a top issue for us. We thought that was going to be the fight. And then lo and behold, it ends up being, because President Trump says he wants to revamp FEMA, that ended up being something that we kind of wish for. So it is part of the national conversation. And I think everybody can agree it can be done better, but that's that's where you get into the real debates on what role does the federal government have, what role does the states have, and then for locals, you know, we want an even larger role, especially in the recovery or the mitigation side. And I think there's been a lot of really interesting conversations around that, but I think a lot of it is centering around pushing more of the responsibility to the states and decentralizing that emergency response role, and especially on the recovery side, I would say, to the states. I think it can be done faster. I probably would say it could be done cheaper as well. And then if it comes to our state, I would say, can we take a shot at it at Jefferson Parish, because we have the capacity and we have the team to do it, and the state could focus a lot of their other resources on other parishes that may be smaller and not have the staff that we have. So I think there's a lot of really good conversations going on. The former FEMA administrator explained that, and it's really true, FEMA has started out with one role, but has really taken on, it's been a little bit of a mission creep, right? It's just really taken on a lot more things that maybe it shouldn't, and that makes the whole agency as a whole less efficient, more bureaucratic. I think we have to ask ourselves, what do we expect from a federal response for these things? A lot of more billion-dollar events have happened in the past, you know, decade. And I think there's talk about, you know, the funding piece and the matching and just putting more of the responsibility on the states and the local government. So a lot of conversations regarding what it would look like.
For the general public, I think a lot of folks don't really recognize the extent that FEMA is really a part-time agency, right?
Yeah, I mean, what do you mean by that, part-time?
Well, I mean, most of the assets that they bring up are assets from other areas of government, whether it be state, local, or federal government. You know, in the response world, it's not actual active employees of FEMA.
And I think you're right. I think FEMA's gotten to be known as this, like, you're going to fix us when it comes to, well, if we've had a bad disaster, where's FEMA? And you're right. And a lot of the applications cross maybe, you know, 20, 30 different federal agencies, right? And that's part of the difficulty is all the applications don't match, and it's very confusing. And then FEMA's abiding by executive orders that we don't really do on a regular day when it's not a disaster time. So, I mean, I think those are a lot of the conversations that they're having. And, you know, one of my colleagues suggested maybe it's less programs that are better funded, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's so many different kind of programs that they run. Maybe it's better to do a really good job on fewer programs and kind of, you know, realign it. But it's going to take a long time to do, and you're dealing with big federal bureaucracy. But I think we could start, and we could try some things, and they're saying, and I don't know to the extent, you know, this is happening, you know, but I saw some initial reports with Texas. They were going to try to get money quicker to Texas and not follow the traditional recovery routes. I don't know. I haven't followed up on that to see if that was happening, but I think that is generally the opinion, is that if you can put the resources closer to the disaster, we might be able to get it done with less bureaucracy and a little bit faster and even cheaper as well.
Yeah, I mean, I was always frustrated. You know, Katrina was a great example as to how long it took for us to be able to close out on our books, you know, the FEMA assistance. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were always way ahead of FEMA, and I think y'all are in the same boat. Y'all are always way ahead of FEMA, waiting. It's kind of frustrating, right?
Right. Very frustrating. I mean, you're carrying these things on your books for years, and our staff will tell us maybe a staffer will leave at the federal level, and you're basically starting all over because a lot of it's done email, you know, so it's like you're basically starting all over. It's almost like it sounds like, and I'm not in the detail of it like they are actually filling out these grant applications, but it sounds like it's done in the most bureaucratic way possible and the most inefficient way possible, and you don't have anybody disagreeing with that. It's just, how do you unravel it? Because it's executive orders and it's a lot of agency rules and regulations. And then you have the state, and then you have ours, you know, local, and it's you're dealing with, you know, multiple agencies across varying levels of government, and then nonprofits have put applications in as well. So it goes beyond just government. And I would think, Newell, the response that you had, I mean, we're going back, you know, Katrina, and you and I need to sit down privately and we need to talk about what your experience was with my dad, you know, in that world. Now that I'm in emergency management, I'm really curious as to what y'all were working on. I don't have him to ask, you know, so I'm gonna have to ask you about what, I can't imagine the changes that have been done there, but really how much was relying on the local government to do all that response, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I have mixed emotions about this reengineering thing. I think it needs to be done, but I do mm-hmm. believe that they're trying to minimize the spend.
Right.
Some areas are going to be in a better position to be able to afford it than others. It's not a one size fit all solution, and it never will be. And, you know, I know there's an attempt to try and make it, but that's not going to work.
They're definitely trying to minimize the spend. We've had more billion-dollar disaster events, and there we have hundreds of, you know, events outstanding. So they're definitely trying to get out of that game, I would say, to an extent. I will say that when I get in the room with those folks, I kind of have to agree with them, but we're in a good position in Jefferson Parish, that the federal government is not supposed to pull out, you know, help a community that hasn't kept up with their own burden at the local level, you know.
That's correct.
And I agree with that. And luckily, you know, in Jefferson Parish, I believe in that. You know, we had a very aging water and sewer system, and, you know, I went to the council and said we need to raise our fees. And look, every January, I talk about April when the fees go up, people don't like us, and we take the criticism, but we're serving a bigger role of like, well, we got to bring you, you know, we're an old system. Things are going to start breaking. We want to fix it before it breaks. And, you know, I believe in this. So it's easy for me to be in the room with those folks because I can say, yeah, well, we're keeping up with it in Jefferson, you know. But they will say, mm-hmm. like, why is it the federal government's response to keep up with aging infrastructure? And we're tasked with that. Or, you know, why one person said, why do I have to, you know, why does FEMA have to replace the electrical grid in Puerto Rico? Why is that a FEMA thing? And you kind of have to agree with them. You want us to be disaster response in FEMA? Okay. But then a lot of other things are falling on FEMA's shoulders to do. And so really kind of a lot of those real soul searching kind of conversations in that world are happening, which are incredible to be part of. And I wouldn't have thought of it that way until I get into a room with somebody who worked at FEMA. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of agree with him. Even though I'm from the local level, we have our responsibility to do. We have responsibility to keep up with our zoning codes, make sure our building, you know, and our state's in a really good shape with that, that we're building in a strong way. That's not really the federal government's role. That's our role. So yeah. I kind of agree with that. But again, we put ourselves in a good position to be part of that conversation, right? So.
No doubt. Well, thank you. So I didn't mean to pivot that conversation, but I'm looking at the sun and the streets dry.
I'm glad we could pivot. That means you're not talking to me about flooded roads and, you know, cars stalled. So,
I knew you could handle it. Cynthia Lee Shank, yeah. President of Jefferson Parish. Thank you so much and have a great
weekend.
Thank you. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
It's that time of year again, back to school season. And Instacart knows that the only thing harder than getting back into the swing of things is getting all the back to school supplies, snacks, and essentials you need. So here's your reminder to make your life a little easier this season. Shop favorites from Staples, Best Buy, and Costco, all delivered through Instacart, so that you can get some time back and do whatever it is that you need to get your life back on track. Instacart, we're here.
Well, folks, I don't know about you, but my level of comfort as it relates to the parish president here in Jefferson Parish is really, really high. She had no idea I was going to pivot to that conversation, and obviously, she was able to touch on a lot of different things, and I was kind of just kidding when I said, you know, the sun's out, and it looks like it's going to be a perfect afternoon, and it looks like it's even getting better, so there wasn't much to talk about with this storm. But as always, WWL, we covered it, and we will continue to keep you up to date on a lot of what is going on relative to this, and it's nice to have folks that take their job serious. They're able to articulate exactly where they are, the challenges where they are. You know, this whole issue of the reengineering of FEMA is going to be a very contentious issue, and there's going to be a lot of misinformation that's out there. So I just kind of want to throw that out as just caution. You know, and just listen closely to what people are actually saying. Okay, we got to get to a break. When we return, we'll visit with Scoot to see what he has coming your way. Stay with us. Scoot joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
We'll talk a little bit about Connie Francis. She has passed away. Jane's Addiction, the band, they're suing each other for an on-stage fight that they had. Lindsey Vonn, the famous Olympic athlete, she had a red carpet malfunction. She was wearing a black thong. We saw it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Scoot's up next. Stay tuned.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.